All right. Take your Bible, if you will. A little different. We're going to go to the book of Isaiah tonight, if you would. Isaiah chapter 43, 43rd chapter of Isaiah. I know we've been in Revelation on Wednesday night, but we're not going to be tonight because I felt led to be somewhere else. So that's where we're going to be. Isaiah 43. Nothing too deep tonight. We're going to just use Isaiah 43 as a starting point. We're going to be doing something more topical, so we're going to be moving around some. And the goal here is to be just purely practical, some practical information. So Isaiah 43, to get us going, look if you would in verse 6, Isaiah 43 and verse 6. You can leave a marker if you want to. We'll be back here in a few minutes, but we won't be coming back here throughout the evening. Isaiah 43 and verse 6, and it says, "And I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth." There's some prophetic stuff going on here that is not for our purpose tonight. But notice the theme or the thought of verse 7, which is certainly applicable regardless of the situation. Verse 7, "Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." Just to kind of get us going, I want you to notice that phrase, "I have created him for my glory." We're going to talk a little bit about that and branch out from there. Here's our thought tonight. Without goals, you're going nowhere. Without goals, you're going nowhere. I can see how excited you are about that. So my goal is to get us through this tonight, all right? Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's help as we head in to the message this evening. All right, Brother Mason, why don't you lead us in prayer?
Lord, we thank you for the time that's already been had in your house, and I just pray that you would help us to focus on your law, but I pray that you'd help us all make proper application of your word this evening. Love you and thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thanks for standing. I'll tell you a little bit about what got my mind thinking about this, and I kind of felt like God was impressing me about it, and I thought about waiting until Sunday night to do it, but I just felt impressed to do it tonight for whatever reason. You know, as I look around today in the world and as I see all the stuff going on in the news today, and I think many of you would agree with me, especially maybe if you're a little bit older, this is the most aimless culture in my lifetime. I mean, it just seems like there's no direction and just an aimless time and an aimless culture. It's a culture without goals. There are no real goals in so many people's lives, and especially among younger people. I mean, older people should have goals, too. I don't care how old you are. You ought to have some goals in your life. You know, some of you are older than I am, but I'm getting to the point in my life where I got much more behind me than I got in front of me. And one of my goals, you know, I've seen so many people blow it in the end of their life, and one of my goals is I want to finish well. I mean, I don't want to blow everything at the end. I don't want to, you know, right before the finish line, ruin everything. And so we all ought to have goals, but it's especially true of younger people. And those who are younger here tonight, this is going to be geared mainly toward you, though it's applicable to all of us. And especially with younger people, and it's especially important for younger people because you have so much more ahead of you. I mean, it's not that goals are more important for older or younger, but it is more important in the sense that you have more time and more opportunity, and there's more ahead of you. And so these things are important. So I want to kind of set the stage for this. And my ultimate goal here, my ultimate goal about goals is to, everybody ought to have a goal. My ultimate goal here is to talk about some rules related to goals. If you're going to have goals, then there are some rules that we need to apply in our life in order to obtain them. So we're going to talk a little bit first about these things, and then we'll get into that. First thing I want you to think with me about tonight, if you could for a few minutes, is that God deals with all of us based on two things. And some other things, but in our context tonight, based on two things. He deals with us based on purpose and goals. Purpose and goals. Sometimes we think about purpose or goal, if you've ever thought about that. We kind of think about them interchangeably. Purpose and goals are kind of the same thing in a lot of people's minds, but they really are not. Purpose and goals are different. Purpose, when it comes to purpose, purpose is why you're here. It's why you're on this earth. It's why you're taking up space on this planet. It's why your life exists. That's purpose. And all of us have a purpose. And if you're saved tonight, we all share the same purpose. And let me say this. Your purpose is not raising children. Your purpose is not to be married. It's not to attend church. It's not to be a plumber or a nurse or an electrician or whatever it may be. That's not your purpose. That's not what purpose is all about. Career and even family isn't purpose. And you'll end up disappointed in life if you make the mistake of making those things that I just mentioned and other things your purpose. Because again, purpose is why I'm here. You know, I'm thankful for some of the things that God's allowed me to come into life. I'm thankful for being a father and a grandfather, but that's not my purpose. That's not why I'm on this planet. It's not why I'm taking up space. It's not the function or purpose of my life. God's very clear about what our purpose is, especially as saved people. And we just read it in Isaiah 43 in our text in verse 7. He said this, "For everyone that is called by my name," is that you tonight? If it is, say amen, if you're saved. "Every one of us that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." So God tells us what our purpose is, and you know what it is. Many of you have read passages similar to this. Our purpose, our reason for being, is to give glory unto the Lord, to live a life and to be the kind of person that gives glory unto him. 1 Corinthians, if you would, chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We don't want to confuse purpose and goals. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I could have just said this verse and you would have known it, but let's look at it. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do," that's kind of a broad, inclusive term, isn't it? "Whatever you do, give glory unto the Lord." And so it's our purpose, our function is to give him glory and bring glory unto the Lord. The purpose of every born-again child of God is to demonstrate honor, to demonstrate respect, to bring worship and majesty toward God in everything that we do. You know, purpose is not to make a name for myself. It's to live a life that makes a name for him. Purpose is not to draw attention to myself or glory to myself or to promote self. It's to promote the Lord Jesus Christ and to promote what God does. It's not to make sure that everyone knows who I am, but to make sure everyone knows who he is. It's to promote his glory and his honor and his worship. You know, and so many things that we wrongly make our purpose in life changes over time. If you make family your purpose, I got news for you, it's going to change. They're all going to grow up and abandon you, and you'll have to crawl out from under the car and get your own wrench and take out your own trash and mow your own grass. It's a horrible life, amen? But those things will happen. They change. They run off on you. And things change over time. But our real purpose never changes. Our real purpose is constant. And that real purpose is to give him glory and honor. You know, your life changes over time. Circumstances in your life changes over time. Relationships change over time. You know, the individual will of God for your life sometimes changes over time. But our purpose ought to include not only bringing him honor and glory unto him, but also making sure that none of my associations, nothing that I do diminishes his glory. Anyway, it's kind of positive and negative. I'm to bring him glory, but I'm also to ensure that nothing I do diminishes his glory in any way, that he receives honor from all that we do and how we do it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, look there if you will. We're not going to spend any time on this because I think you get it. 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 17, again, simple verse, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 17. "But he that glorieth," we're not to glory in ourselves, we're not to glory in our accomplishments, we're not to glory in any of those things, but we're to glory in him and to bring honor and glory unto God and unto the Lord Jesus Christ. So are you with me so far? Say amen. Purpose is why we're here. Purpose isn't family. Purpose isn't being a husband. Purpose isn't being a whatever. Purpose is to bring glory and honor unto the Lord, to magnify him in all that we do, and to make sure that nothing that we do diminishes from his glory in any way if we can possibly help it. Goals, on the other hand, are different. And when it comes to goals, I like to think of goals as kind of, you know, I'm born and I die, and I think of goals as waypoints along the way. They're waypoints, they're targets, they're pursuits in life. Goals are those things that I'm pursuing in my life. They're stops along the way, waypoints, targets that I'm shooting at in my life. Goals can be accomplished. Amen. Goals can be fulfilled. And goals can even be reset. You know, I've reset some goals in my life over my lifetime. I've redrawn some goals. And so my purpose never changes. It's always to bring honor and glory. But there have been goals in my life that's changed. And goals do change as we go through life a lot of times. As we accomplish goals, they kind of drop off and we reestablish more goals. Is this making sense? They're kind of waypoints, things that we do throughout life. Now, again, goals are those things in my life that I want my life to be made up of. This is what goals should be. It's what I want. As I think about my life, if you were born, say amen. All right, so we were all born, so we're all on the same page so far. So we're all born. If you're pretty confident that one of these days you're going to die or the Lord's going to come back, say amen. All right, so we got this space in between. And goals are made up of those things that I want my life to be made up of. They're the things that I want to accomplish in my life. They're the things that I think are going to make my life happy. That's going to make my life meaningful to me. That's going to make me enjoy life. Come on, anybody here tonight got the goal, more than anything in life, man, I just want to be miserable. I mean, I just want my life to be horrible and miserable. No, we set goals because we want our life to be happy. And we think to ourselves, these are the things that I believe will make my life meaningful. These are the things I believe will make my life happy. These are the things that I make, listen, this is important. These are the things that I believe will make my life matter. And so I set these goals along the way. And so goals are these waypoints, these targets that I shoot at. You know, without well thought out goals, you don't have any idea of whether you're progressing, do you? Like the old saying goes, if you shoot at nothing, what do you hit? Nothing. You have no idea if your life's progressing. You're kind of like the culture that we're in. You just end up being aimless in life. And as I said earlier, what got me thinking about this week, some things I read and saw, and I got to thinking about one of the saddest things I think there is about our culture, and there's a lot of sad things about our culture, but one of the saddest ones is just the aimlessness of it, that people seem to have no concept of where they're going or what they're doing or what life's about. I've never seen a culture so content, you know, with the lowest of jobs or the lowest of accomplishments and just seem to be fine with just motoring on endlessly with no real goals or aims in life. And we as God's people shouldn't be that way. We have a purpose. That's to glorify God. But I also want my life to matter. I want to be happy in my life. I want to accomplish some things in my life. There are certain things that I think would help make my life matter. And so those are things that I should set as goals in my life. Without goals, I'm like Israel. I'm just aimlessly wandering in the wilderness of life. That sounded very poetic, didn't it? I'm just aimlessly wandering in the wilderness of life. And I'm doing things. And I'm surviving. And I'm getting through each day. But I'm not going anywhere. I'm not really accomplishing anything. You do realize Israel during that 40 years wilderness wandering, they were doing all kinds of stuff. They were working their jobs and they were surviving, but they weren't going anywhere. They weren't accomplishing anything that mattered, that made any kind of difference in their life. And so without goals, that's where I end up. You know, they're doing things, they were surviving, they were accomplishing, but nothing. When you get into this position of aimlessness, and I think this is why one of the reasons why we're in such an unhappy culture is because when you get into this thing of aimlessness, there's nothing that really makes me happy to be alive. You know, nothing that really makes me happy in relationship to Christ or there's, I'm not really doing anything that advances Christ or helps other people. And so I'm just kind of aimlessly going through life, getting up, doing my thing and going to bed and get up my next day and do it all over again. So listen up, we need goals in our life. We need waypoints, we need targets, we need ways along our life as we shoot toward those things that I think will make me happy, that will help me enjoy life. I need those things. And so we also need to think about this before we go any farther, and that goals don't always have to be directly related to my purpose, but our purpose should always influence our goals. Does that make sense? That's why God said that whatever you do, do unto His glory. So my purpose may not directly, my goals may not directly influence my purpose, but my purpose ought to always influence my goals. Our goals ought never contradict our purpose. All right? God doesn't want you to do anything that's going to rob Him of glory. God doesn't want you to do anything that you're going to go around claiming you're one of His and then go do something that's going to rob Him of glory. We obviously know that God's not in that. Our purpose should always be considered in our goals. Your goal may be, I don't know what your goals are. Your goal might be to accomplish something or to be something. You know, you think, well, I think God would like me to be one of my goals in my life, if I could be a teacher, I would be happy. If I could be a doctor, I would be happy. If I could be nobody would be happy being a politician, but if I could be whatever, that would make me, politician's job is not to be happy, it's to make everybody else unhappy. And so if I could be this thing, then I think, you know, I think that I would be happy. Now, it may not directly relate to purpose. God doesn't want everybody to be a preacher. You know, God doesn't want everybody to be in the ministry, so to speak. But I can have goals in my life that I think would make me happy. And as I go about those goals, I think to myself, well, how can I also fulfill my purpose? How can I give glory to God in what I'm doing? You know, how can I use this career that I think was a goal in my life? How can I use that to bring glory to God? How can I use this to point people to Christ? How can I use it to magnify Him? It might just be that God's putting you in contact with people. It might just be that God's putting you in a place where you can witness to people. It might be that God has put you in a career field you can use in the ministry in some way or to help churches in some way. But I should always strive to try to find some way to use my goals to promote my purpose. Okay? They're not too deep for Wednesday night, is it? Everybody with me? So we got purpose, which is to glorify and magnify God. Then we make goals for our life. Here's where I want to be and by the time I'm 20. Here's where I want to be by the time I'm 30. Here's where I'd like to be at 35. Here's what I want to do as my career. You know, here's what I want to accomplish as far as a family. Here's these goals I've got for myself. And if you've not thought about this, you should be thinking about it. This is where I want to be. This is what I want to do. Now, all those goals may not directly impact my purpose, but I should always strive to use my goals to bring glory unto Him as well as make me happy. Okay? Everybody with me so far? How can I glorify God and accomplish what I want in life? How can I glorify God and accomplish this purpose? How can I be a doctor or a mother or a teacher or a whatever? How can I be whatever it is I'm trying to be or striving to be? How can I do that and also glorify God at the same time? How can I do that? And so that should be something that's on our minds. Okay? Now, we're focusing on goals tonight, not so much purpose. So we're going to focus on the goal side of this. And I want you to think about the fact that God very much deals with us. And I don't want to spend any time on this either, but I just want to introduce the idea that God also deals with us in relationship to goals. God gives us goals. He's given us goals since we started. God put us in the Garden of Eden. Amen. He put us there and gave us the goal of tending and keeping the garden. He talked about the goal of replenishing the earth. He gave us the goal of subduing all creation. He gave us those goals. Now, we blew it, but He gave us those goals. When He brought Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, the goal was for Abraham to be made a great nation. And Abraham was to work toward that by being obedient to God and to follow God, and God would allow him to achieve those goals. When God brought Israel out of Egyptian bondage, first He cleaned them up, got rid of all their junk. Then He led them out to the mountain where He would give them their law. Then God's plan was, now the goal is to get you to the promised land where you can inherit. Again, they blew it, but God deals with us as goals. We're dealing with goals. One of our goals is to stay faithful till the Lord comes back. We're looking for His return. One of my goals in my life should be, all of our goals is to have a good testimony or a good stand at the judgment seat of Christ. You know, we should have certain goals. And then we ought to have goals while we're here. I want to be a better soul winner. I want to be a better teacher. I want to be whatever. We should have goals related to spiritual things. And so God deals with us in relationship to goals. We are a goal, or we should be, a goal-oriented people. Come on, don't you think? We ought to be a goal-oriented people. Have goals in our life. Those waypoints that we think, you know, will make us happy. And so He deals with us related to these things. But then God does this. He has goals for us to be faithful when He returns, to be right at the judgment seat of Christ, to be in the marriage supper of the Lamb, different goals. But then God is good. And so God also allows us to make goals for ourselves. God doesn't tell us everything, but He allows us to make and to establish goals in our life. We have the freedom and the liberty to look at our life and say, you know what? I think if I could accomplish this, that would make me happy. I think if I could be this, I would feel like that would help make my life matter. I feel like if I could do this, then that would be satisfying in my life. And so He lets us. Aren't you glad God does that? Amen. He lets us make. I'm thankful. Listen, I'm thankful I'm not a diehard Calvinist. Every aspect of my life is pre-programmed. I'm glad that God lets me make choices and choose in my life. So He lets me. God says, here's some overarching goals there should be in your life. But now when it comes to your everyday life, God says, I'm going to allow you to make choices and decisions. I believe in the providence of God, but I also don't think that God programs every aspect of our life. He lets us make choices. And so he lets us choose and make goals in our life. He lets us decide. Now, unless you're called to something like the ministry, God lets us choose what we want to do. I'm sure most of you tonight didn't see, a 12-foot Jesus at the foot of your bed who told you to go be a CPA or be whatever. I don't think that worked that way, all right? God lets us choose what we want to do and what we want to be, those things that we think will make us happy. And so our job now is to, of course, fulfill our purpose, make sure we keep our eye on our overarching goal, but then also decide for ourselves what is going to make me, what's going to make Trenton happy, what's going to make Isaac happy, what do I want to do that's going to make me feel like my life matters and makes a difference? What is it I really feel like would give me a good life? You with me? So God lets us do that. He lets us choose goals and pick goals for our life. Look over in Ecclesiastes 2. Ecclesiastes 2. God allows us to make goals that we believe will make us happy, make us feel like our life matters or means something, like we've accomplished something in our life. As I said a minute ago, we're in the middle of an aimless culture, an aimless society where people, especially young people, they have no idea where they're going or what they're doing or what's going to make them happy. They just have no concept of it. I think they've been robbed of that. And as a result, a lot of people today are ending up, and already there, are ending up in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 in verse 11, where it says, "And then I looked on all the works that my hand had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was what? Vanity and vexation of spirit, and there's no profit under the sun." My life has been for nothing. I have pursued this thing, I have caught it, and it turned out to be nothing. There's no pleasure in it, there was no enjoyment in it. I've burned up years pursuing it, and it turns out to be nothing. And I don't want to be that way, do you? I mean, you don't want to spend your life pursuing something and then find out that once you catch it, it was just nothing. It was not what you'd hoped. It wasn't what you were hoping it would be. Or worse yet, you make no goals at all and never catch anything. You don't want to look back one day in your life and say, "Well, I did nothing. I was just lived an aimless, empty, useless life." And so, with that in mind, we've got to establish goals. If you're a younger person tonight, this applies to all of us, but if you're a younger person tonight, or younger in your adulthood, adult life, whatever that word is, if you're younger in that sense, you should have or should be thinking about well-established, meaningful goals. If you haven't had this conversation with yourself, what would really make me happy in life? What would make my life feel like it matters? What would really satisfy me in my life? I want to fulfill my purpose, which is give God glory. That's the most important thing. Amen? I want to be conscious of my overarching goals. I want to be, if the Lord takes me home today, I want to be right with Him. I want to be prepared if the Lord returns today. I want to stand good at the judgment seat of Christ. I want to serve Him, certainly, absolutely. But what do I want to do with my life? What kind of a career would make me happy? What kind of a life would make me happy? What kind of relationships would make me happy? And we ought to have that thought. We ought to think that way. You know, okay, I'm 12 or 13 or 20 or whatever age I am. What do I want to do? I mean, what do I want to be? You know, what do I want to have? What would make me happy? I don't know how to express it any way than I've already expressed it 15 times. What would make me happy? What would satisfy me? What would make me feel like this, man, this is life right here? Now, if you don't have goals or shoot for that, you'll never find it. You just end up living another aimless life. Let me say one other thing, and we'll get on to some rules for goals. The second thing is this: never confuse dreams with goals. We sometimes think dreams and goals are the same thing. They're not the same thing. Dreams and goals are different from one another, at least in my mind. You can define them when you're preaching any way you want to, but dreams and goals in my mind are different. Dreams and goals can from time to time line up, but oftentimes dreams are those things I think in my mind I would love to do, but the reality is I don't have the ability. I don't have the talent. I don't have the intellectual horsepower. I don't have whatever it is to be able to do it. But boy, it sure sounds like it would be fun to do. It'd be great to be a race car driver. Amen. But I don't have gobs of money to get started, and I would probably be dead in a week anyway. So I don't have the ability or talent to do that. You know, A lot of times young men's goals are, you know, our dream is, I'd love to play pro ball because I was pretty good in high school. And the only problem is when that dream meets reality, you find out you're not as talented as you thought you were, right? You don't have the ability to compete at a pro level. And so it might be a dream. It might be something to think about, but you just don't have the ability. Well, I really feel like I think a great dream would to be a doctor. The only problem is I don't have the intellectual horsepower to pass a master's level organic chemistry course. And so probably wouldn't happen in my life. All right. And so there's dreams, and I guess there's nothing wrong with dreams as long as they stay anchored in some form of reality. But there is a difference between dreams and goals. Dreams are those things we think, boy, it'd be great to do that. I'd really enjoy being this. I think I'd really enjoy being that. But the reality is it's never going to happen in my life. And so I need to establish goals. You can't just be anything you want. I don't care what the world says. You can't just be anything, because we don't all have the same ability. We don't all have the same. Just because you can do it doesn't mean everybody can do it, because we don't have the same ability. We don't have the same talent. We don't have the same. Let's be honest. We're not all as smart as each other, right? We don't all have the same intellectual power. And so we can't fulfill all our dreams. That's why it's so important to have wise goals. Because if all you do is chase dreams, you're going to be miserable. So we have to have realistic, mature, realistic adult goals in life. So goals are those things that are attainable. Dreams oftentimes, not saying they're never attainable. For a few people they are. But goals are those things that are attainable. But now here's where we're headed. Listen to this. Y'all listening? Goals are attainable, but they're attainable through perseverance. They're attainable through hard work. They're attainable through focus. They're attainable with the Lord's help. There are those things that I think would make me happy, but they're attainable with His help through perseverance, through work, through effort. That's what makes goals come to pass. I want to marry someone who loves the Lord like I do and serve the Lord together. Well, then you better get busy being that person. Amen. If that's what you want, then you better get busy being that person. Well, I would like to have X number of children. That would make me happy. Well, then you better determine what you're going to do with them once you got them, and what kind of children you want to have, what kind of family you want to have, how are you going to raise them. What's my goal? I just want animals can have children, all right. But what do I want to do with them? What do I want to accomplish in their life? You know, I want to have my own business. I want to be financially secure by the age of 24. You know, I want to be financially secure. I want to retire. You know, by the time I'm 35, I got these. You need to have some realistic goals. I want to have, you know, this is what I want to do. I want to retire at this age. I want to have my own business. There's nothing wrong as God's people thinking about those things. I want to get to the point where maybe I can help others in the Lord's work more. I want to own a home. I want to be in this profession or that profession. You know, what would make me happy, that's an obtainable goal with hard work, is this. You insert whatever you want. And we should have multiple goals if you're younger. Amen? Amen. This is what I want to do. And I think if I could accomplish these things, they would make me happy. Amen. So, here's what we've agreed on. None of us want to be miserable. We all want to be happy. In order to do that, we need to, first of all, remember our purpose, which is to give God glory. If your goals contradict the ability to give God glory, then you need to reestablish some goals in your life. So, it should never take away from our purpose. Those goals don't always have to directly impact purpose, but my purpose should always be the consideration in any goal. How can I be the best whatever and give God glory at the same time? Amen? So what has to happen is we need to establish, especially if we're younger tonight, we need to establish some goals. You need to think about where you want to be and what you want to do and what will make you happy. That sounds so simplistic, doesn't it? But 90% of the world today has no clue what they're doing. They just get a job and go through life. So if I'm going to do that, I've got to establish some realistic goals. A person needs to sit down, especially when you're younger in life, and think about, we're going to talk about this, think about what would really make my life, what do I think would really make my life satisfying? What do I think would really make me happy? What do I really want to accomplish? And what do I want to do that matters? Okay? So let me give you some rules for goals. Okay? You ready? Some rules for goals. Please listen, especially if you're younger, so you don't end up in my office. All right? So rules for goals in your life. First of all, let's get the simple, obvious ones out of the way first, because there's nothing deep here. These first ones should be obvious to us, to many of us. First of all, if you're going to have goals in your life, if you're going to have targets to shoot at, something that's going to make your life satisfying, first, you must be saved. Amen. And you must be confident that you're born again in order to establish rules in your life which will truly make you happy. Lost people and saved people do not think the same, or they shouldn't think the same anyway. And so we have different goals. There are different things that should make us happy as God's people versus what makes the world happy. See, what makes the world happy is buying a car or a bass boat or a bigger house. Amen. Or playing video games for the rest of their days. That's what makes lost people happy, because it's all flesh driven. Right? So saved people think differently. So if you're saved or not, if you love the Lord and you're serving Him, it's going to influence your goals in life. Now again, every goal doesn't directly affect serving God, but my goal should help fulfill my purpose. But lost people and saved people don't think the same way. Remember, the goals of a lost person, that of a saved person, even if they seem the same on the surface, they're still different. You know, a lost person and a saved person may both have the goal of having a family. But what we want from a family is different. What we want our families to be is different. We may both want children, but what we want of our children is going to be different. And the goals I have for those children are going to be different because we're saved or lost. We both may have the goal of retiring at the age of whatever, but what we want to do with the remaining time that we have is going to be affected by whether we're saved or not. You know, one of these days, when the Lord comes back, I'll get too old and decrepit to do this and I'll retire, but I don't want to just go somewhere and sit. I want to still keep serving God and doing something. You know, and so saved or lost impacts our goals, because we think different and we see things differently. And on top of that, goals are affected, like I said, by purpose. And the lost and the saved have different purposes in life. Lost people, their purpose is to retire so they can go fishing. Our purpose is to live a life that's pleasing unto Him and praise the Lord for the things that He lets us do along the way that makes us happy. And so we've got to, first of all, you can't make real goals to your life until you settle salvation. And I'm sure on Wednesday night we understand, but I need to say it. If you're not sure you're saved tonight, you need to take care of that first and then start addressing goals in your life. Amen. So you need to make sure you're saved. You need to make sure you know Christ is your Savior, because until you're born again and the Spirit of God begins to affect your thinking, you're not going to have the same goals as a lost person. So setting goals, you must be born again. Say amen if you believe that. Amen. Secondly, if we're born again and setting goals, again, this is one of those others that should be kind of a no-brainer. Secondly, we should always seek counsel and wisdom from the Lord when establishing goals in our life. So if I'm going to establish goals in my life, okay, I'm saved. I'm born again, I know that, no doubt in my mind whatsoever, I'm saved. And so I want to please God with my life, I want to live for Him, I want to bring Him glory, I've got all that taken care of. So now I need to decide what I want to do with my life. What's going to make an Isaac happy, or what's going to make some other young person happy, or a Joe, or whoever. What's going to make me happy? What's going to matter in my life? Well, I need to seek God's counsel in setting those. I can't just sit down and start making a list of everything I want to do. I need to seek God's counsel. I need to seek God's help. I need to pray about my goals. You know, we oftentimes think something, let me ask you, have you ever thought something was going to make you happy? And you found out, nope. I just wasted money on that. I just wasted time on that. I just wasted my testimony on that. I just wasted energy on that. And it's not happy. You ever have a relationship you thought were going to make you happy? Or some other thing you thought was going to make you happy? The truth of the matter is sometimes we think we know what's going to make us happy. And we think we know what's going to be fulfilling. But sometimes we find out it's not. You know, something we wanted to do turns out to be a disappointment. Something we wanted to be. It's a shame to spend years chasing a career and find out it's not really what was making you happy to start with. You know, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what my health is going to be like a year from now. You know, I don't know who I'm going to meet. I don't know what opportunities I'm going to have. I don't know, you know, what may happen in our country You know, I don't know what may happen in my family. I don't know any of those things. And so he knows. Amen. So when I go to set goals in my life, I need to, here's what, I'll just cut to the chase. You just need to be honest with God. Here's what I think I would really like to do. I think this is what would really make me happy. I think this is what would really matter. It doesn't conflict with purpose. Amen. It doesn't conflict with your word, but that doesn't mean that it's going to make me happy. God, I need you to give me peace about what it is you want me to do. I really feel like this is what I like to do. God, would you just give me peace or not give me peace about this? So I know that this is the career I should pursue. This is the profession I should pursue. This is the thing that I should pursue. Would you just give me peace about that and help me to establish some goals? Because God knows. Not only that, he knows what sort of impact my goals are going to have on my purpose. Because, you know, if you're not careful, you get the wrong goal, it'll impact your purpose. It'll impact your relationship and fellowship with God if you're not careful, because it'll get you out of his will. And so, God, is this what you want me to do? Do I have purpose about this? We ought to seek God's counsel through prayer and his word, because, after all, setting life's goals is a big deal. Look over in Psalm 32. Setting goals in my life is a big deal. I don't know if you've thought about this, but what you do with the rest of your life, kind of a big deal. Who you marry, what you're going to do for a living, what kind of family you're going to have. Those things are monumental decisions that directly impact our happiness and really impact the matter of life. And so I think they deserve some prayer. And I think they deserve some counsel from the Lord as to what we'd have me do. Now, again, I wish God worked this way. Maybe if it worked that way, I might find out why he doesn't work that way. But it would be great if God just sends you something in the mail. You know, do this with your life. Amen. But we're supposed to do this by faith and prayer and seek his will and his word and ask God for peace. But if something as big as goals in life, major goals in life. I'm not talking about getting out of here tonight so you can eat supper. I'm talking about major goals in life. Man, we need his help, because we have no idea what's going to be on tomorrow. And sometimes what we think is going to make us happy turns out not to be anything we thought about. In Psalm 32, look what it says in verse 8. It says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eyes. Be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding. We should know how important these goals are, how important these waypoints are along the way of life. And we should understand how badly we need God's instruction and how badly we need his direction. And he promises that he will guide us. Come on, is there anybody here tonight that really thinks that, if, especially if you're on the younger end of your life and you're setting goals for your life, what's going to make you happy, what you could establish, here's where I want to be at this point, here's where I want to be at this point, here's what I want to do, or here's what I think I want to do. You really think that if you pray, God, you know, I want to fulfill my purpose of giving you glory. I certainly want to do that, and I don't want to get out of your will, so could you just give me, here's what I would really like to do. God, is that what you want me to do? Would you give me peace about that? He says, don't be like a stupid mule and just go charging off doing stuff without praying about it and seeking God's will. Look what he goes on to say over in Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19. You know what mules, donkeys do? They just get up in the morning, start eating grass, and go about their day. He says, we're not to be that way. We're to think about where we're going and what we're doing, and pray and seek God's help. Proverbs 19, look what it says in verse 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou might be wise when... when you get down the road, when you've progressed, when you've gone a ways, that you might be wise. Notice what it says in verse 21. There are many devices in a man's heart. In other words, there are a lot of dreams, there are a lot of goals, there are a lot of thoughts in our heart and our mind. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. And so he says, don't be like the mule who just gets up every day and goes on eating grass, not thinking about what his life's about or what's going on, but seek God's counsel. I need these goals in my life. I need to be saved because the goals of a saved person are different than those of a lost person. Now that I'm saved, I need to sit down and decide, okay, what am I going to do with my life? What am I going to do for a living? What am I going to do concerning family? Does God want me to marry? What am I going to do about all of this? And God, here's what I think I would like to do, and I think this would make me happy, but God, you know my life better than I do. You know my destiny better than I do. You know what tomorrow's going to bring, and I don't. So God, here's what I think. Could you give me peace about what it is you'd have me to do? And Lord, take away peace concerning anything you don't want me to do, because at the end of the day, I want to be happy. Amen? And seek His counsel, and seek His direction, and seek His will. He knows the impact of all of this. Let me help you out. If you're going to set goals for your life, you're going to need His help. You're going to need His help in accomplishing them. You're going to need His help in obtaining them. And He can help lay out the goals of life in your heart. And if you're going to count on Him helping you, then it might be a good time to seek His help at the beginning. Don't you think? If I'm going to need His help, then I should probably... Don't go heading off like the dumb mule. And then when you make a mess out of things, go... This is all God's fault. Look what a mess everything is in my life. Well, maybe you should have sought God before you took off down this path. And so we need to set these goals. We need to seek His leadership, His direction, and will. You know, don't just write down goals. Tell God what you think would make you happy, and then ask God to give you peace about it concerning it. God says, I'll do that. I'll give you wisdom and direction and help you. Then thirdly, again, this is another one of those no-brainers, but... maybe not. Thirdly, you've got to establish a foundation of absolute truth in your life. We kind of talked about this Sunday morning. You've got to settle that God's Word is the ultimate truth, and that God's Word is that which is going to direct your ways. That regardless of what I want to do, regardless of what the culture says, regardless of what I think will make me happy, God's Word must be the ultimate authority in my life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, look there if you would. God's Word must be the ultimate authority in my life. Chapter 2, verse 13. You know this verse. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. And when you accept God's Word as authoritative, when you accept it as it is indeed the Word of God, then notice at the end of the verse, then it will effectually work in your life when you accept it as absolute truth. On this pursuit of goals, you've got to have a foundation. You've got to have an anchor. You've got to have something that is absolute truth. And here's why. When you take off through life pursuing goals, there's going to be all kinds of side paths. There's going to be all kinds of off ramps, if you want to think about it that way. Let me help you out this way too. There's always going to be a carrot. There's going to be ways of much more easily achieving a goal than obeying God. And so I've got to have something that's going to keep me grounded. Something that, as I'm pursuing this goal, is going to help keep me from cheating. That's going to help keep me from destroying my fellowship with God. It's going to keep me from becoming so consumed with this goal that once I achieve it, I look behind me and I've left God behind someplace. And so I need God's Word to keep me honest, to keep me straight, to keep me in obedience to His Word. There's always easier ways to do things than the right way. There's always easier ways to do things than the godly way. There's always easier ways to do things than the biblical way. And so I need truth in my life. You know, truth will keep you in God's will. It will keep you in fellowship with Him while you pursue goals in your life. There's probably not an adult in this room tonight that hasn't known somebody who was living for God and serving the Lord, and they got an opportunity. You with me? And now they're not serving God anymore. Now they're out of church. Now they're not living for the Lord anymore. Because they got an opportunity, which they took, and it got them out of God's will. And they accomplished their goal, but they got out of God's will in the process. And so you've got to have absolute truth. You've got to say, no matter what goes on, I'm going to obey this book. I'm going to be obedient to this book. Even if it looks like it's not going to allow me to accomplish my goal, I'm going to obey God's Word, and I'm going to keep His truth. You have to establish absolute truth in your life and the pursuit of goals to protect honesty, to protect integrity, to protect character. to protect your purpose while you're pursuing goals. You know, don't doubt the truth of God's word. Don't rely on your own truth to justify means, but you've got to establish truth. Okay, everybody still with me? That's right. We're making goals. We got to be saved. We're going to seek God's leadership to make sure that my goals will be what I want, that they'll accomplish what I want them to accomplish, because I'm not always so smart as to know the future and how things are going to work. So I need God's to give me peace about these things. I don't want to be like the mule, just goes charging off. I want to find out some direction from God. Then thirdly, I've got to establish a foundation of truth. There has to be something that keeps me anchored, so I'm not running to and fro trying to accomplish a goal. And as I said a moment ago, when I finally get there, I realize I've ruined my fellowship with God. Because again, all of us in this room that are adults can give a testimony of somebody or more than one person who took some opportunity or goal and now they're not serving God or living anymore. And I don't want to be that way. There's no happiness in that. Do you hear me? There's no happiness in that. Now, the devil will convince you that there is. If you could just get this, then boy, you would really be happy. If you could just see how good that apple looks, how good that fruit looks on the tree, that it will make you wise and there's all kind of enjoyment in it, then you just pursue it and then you'll be happy. And then all of a sudden you find out you got what it is you're after, and because you're saved, you're miserable because now you're out of fellowship with God. So I've got to have truth, absolute truth that anchors me where I'm supposed to be. Then fourthly, everybody still awake? Okay, fourthly, only 32 more to go. Fourthly, that's not that many. Fourthly, never forget, and this is important, here's where we branch out a little bit. Fourthly, never forget that though God allows us to make goals in our life, He never promises that reaching them will be easy. Boy, this is a point that everybody in this country needs to hear today. God lets us make goals for our life, but never once does He ever promise that they are going to be easy. Let me translate that for you into Americanese. Reaching goals isn't for sissies, because life can be and oftentimes is hard. Life is hard. And because of the fact that life is hard, goals are oftentimes not easy to obtain. Job chapter 14. If goals were easy to obtain, we'd all be everything we ever wanted to be. Job chapter 14. Reaching goals isn't easy because life is hard. Come on, you ever have life get in the way? Got all these dreams and goals and things are going great, and then life gets in the way. Because life is hard. You've never thought life was out to get you? Come on, you can be honest. You ever thought life was out to get you? I've told you before, I'm confident inanimate objects can be out to get you, because I've had multiple cars, I'm sure, were trying to kill me. And so life, we can feel sometimes like life is out to get us. And what we mean by that is life is getting in the way of our goals. I'm trying to accomplish this thing that I think would make me happy, that would make my life matter, and life keeps getting in the way. And we know that's the case, and it's going to be the case. Job 14, this guy knew a little bit about problems. He says, you can certainly understand Job if you know his background, when he says in verse 1 of chapter 14, man that is born of a woman. How many of you were born of a woman? Okay, most of us, all right. I hear that's possible to get around now, but not really. Man that is born of a woman is few of days and full of trouble. I'm not sure if the two are connected. but if you've been born, then life is full of trouble and it's full of problems. Life is always going to get in the way. Life is hard. I don't know how lost people do it, because life is hard. So you don't reach your, like I said, life is hard. The truth is, I'm trying to think how I want to say this. You know, when you pursue a goal in life, there are, I know what I want to say, but I'm sure I want to say it. If you're going to reach goals in your life and be happy, you've got to accept the fact that life is hard. You've got to accept that. It's naive to say, well, I want to be this, but Mason, I'd like to be this, and I'd like to be here, and I'd like to be the king of capitalism, and I'd like to do this, that, and the other. And then to naively think that life isn't going to be hard. That it's not going to be a challenge, that it's not going to be a problem. It's naive. And you say, well, come on, preacher, we know that. No, we don't. Because we're always discouraged because life is hard. It's always going to happen. Not only do we have to accept the fact that life is not only hard, we also accept the fact that it is oftentimes unfair, at least in our minds. It's not fair and it's hard. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. I want to be this, and I want to do that. And I think this would really make me happy. And then all of a sudden, I find out that life isn't easy and that it's not fair. Solomon, that's one of the things he discovered in his examination of life in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 11. And I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift. The guy who should have won the race doesn't always win. He says this, nor the battle to the strong. The strongest, most well-equipped, best army doesn't always win. He says, neither is bread to the wise. The smartest guy doesn't always make the most money, nor riches to the men of understanding, nor favor to the men of skill. But time and chance happen to fall. Life happens to everyone. And things aren't always fair. If things were fair, the strongest army would always win. The smartest guy would always make the most money. The fastest guy would always win the race. But it doesn't work that way, does it? If life was fair and I put in the work, I would always accomplish everything I wanted to accomplish. But life is hard. And life is oftentimes unfair. And we need to get that in our minds. Listen, young people, you need to get in your minds that life is difficult. And it's hard. It's great. But it's difficult. And it's hard. And it's challenging. And things come out of nowhere and get you. Things you weren't expecting happens. It's just the way life is. This is why we are now in a generation or two that's doing nothing with their life. It's also why so many of them, it's why so many people today, all they do is protest about how hard things are for them. And all they do is protest about how unfair everything is. And all they do is protest how other people have accomplished something, but they've never accomplished anything. How unfair it is that some people have opportunity or success or material things that they don't have. This is the culture we're in, isn't it? We're not a culture of goal setters or people trying to accomplish anything. We're a culture of whiners about how hard everything is and how tough everything is and how difficult everything is. And it is hard. And it is difficult. And it is challenging. But this is where we are. You know, we're a culture of little baby birds with their mouth open. Expecting somebody to stick something in it. And when they don't, all we do is squawk. I just thought of that off the top of my head, Brother Alger. That's what we are. You know, so many things that make life happy are hard. So many things that make life challenging is hard. So many things that make life worth living take work to acquire. Isn't that true? But they're obtainable. Listen, if you're a young person here tonight, you need to have goals in your life. You need to decide what you want to do. You need to figure out what's going to make you happy. And let me help you out a little bit. Let me encourage you. It's going to be hard. But it's doable. But you just have to face the fact and have the understanding that it is difficult and it is hard and it is challenging. You know, if I want to be financially secure by whatever age, well, that's going to be hard. You know, well, I would like to retire at this age. Well, that's probably going to be challenging. You know, I want to own my own business. In this culture, that's going to be hard. I want to have a house of my own. I want to have a godly family. I want to be in this profession. I want to have this career. It's going to be challenging. And it's going to be hard. It's why there are so many people. Well, let me just go ahead and go there. It's why there are so many people who are in their 30s sitting around playing video games and messing around on social media instead of accomplishing something with their life. Because it's hard. It's easier to do nothing and whine about how hard it is and how unfair it is. And while many aren't doing anything because, again, it's just easier to whine about how hard everything is. Instead of doing the work, they claim everything's unfair. They expect someone to give them what they have not worked to obtain. And life is just hard, difficult. It's worth it. That's what makes goals so enjoyable when they're obtained. You had to work to get there. You had to struggle to get there. You had to put in the time to get there. I don't understand people. Let me vent about this. I don't understand people who take enjoyment out of everything that was given to them. I don't understand people who take enjoyment out of eating food that my neighbors all provided all the time. We all need some help every now and then. That's not what we're talking about. But who live that way? I don't understand people who feel like they've accomplished something because they were given a job because of their sex or race or gender or whatever it is. I don't understand how anybody looks at themselves and goes, this is really enjoyable. I don't understand how people enjoy that type of thing. Maybe I'm old school, but I just don't understand how that is. Instead of doing the work, they claim everything's unfair. They expect someone to give them what they haven't worked to obtain. And the joy and the satisfaction, the happiness of fulfillment is in that which we've labored for. Look what it says in Ecclesiastes 5. Are you all still with me? Okay, Ecclesiastes 5. If you're a young person, like, man, make some goals. Just understand up front, it's not going to be easy. If you think you're just going to set a goal and everything's going to fall into place, you need to write a book, because that's not most people's experience. But it's the challenge and the work and the effort that makes it meaningful. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, look what Solomon discovered. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 18. Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his what? All his labor that taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth to him, for this is his portion. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. He says it's the gift of God to be able to work and struggle and strive and labor and accomplish goals. That's why when you get there, you look back and say, man, God's good. It's good to be where I am. And praise God for what he's allowed me to accomplish in my life. So we got to understand life's hard. And it many times seems unfair, but the satisfaction isn't accomplishing it. You know, God's people ought not to expect that everyone owes them anything. We ought not, as God's people, expect people to give us anything. But we ought to have the understanding. It's a challenge, but you know what? It's obtainable. And I can do it if I stay faithful. We ought to face the hardness and the unfairness of life. And you know how we ought to do it? We ought to do it in faith. Absolutely. We understand that all things work together for what? Good. And so we approach the hardness of life. We say, you know what? Life's hard. It's challenging. But you know what? My God's bigger. And so I'm going to face the challenges of life. I'm going to face the difficulties of life. And when life comes out of nowhere and slaps me upside the head, I'm going to trust God by faith. And I'm going to keep pursuing that which I've established as goals in my life. So we've got to determine that life is hard. Then quickly, fifthly. This one is so important, I think. Fifthly. If you're going to reach goals in your life and be happy, you have to establish a testimony or a name that demands respect. If you're going to accomplish goals in your life, you have to establish a testimony that creates respect. You're never going to accomplish goals in your life unless you obtain respect from other people. Proverbs, well, we're in Ecclesiastes, so look in verse 1 of chapter 7 first. Proverbs 7 and verse 1. A good name is better than what? Precious ointment. Look what it says over in Proverbs 22. If you're going to establish goals in your life, you've got to establish a testimony. You've got to live the kind of life that creates respect. Proverbs 22, look what it says in verse 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than what? Great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. There's nothing more valuable that you can possess as a person than your name. And so if you're going to establish goals, if you're going to meet those goals, you've got to start early living the kind of life that creates respect, that makes other people respect you. You can't demand respect. We have to earn respect. That causes people to respect. If you're going to accomplish many of the goals that people have in life, you're going to need the help and trust of other people. Now, I hope you're listening. If you're going to accomplish goals, you're not going to get there by yourself, especially when you're younger. You're going to need the help of other people in order to obtain it. You're going to need their help, and you're going to need, more than anything, you're going to need the trust of other people. If you're going to accomplish many of the goals in your life, especially when you're younger and getting started, you're going to need people to put trust in you. You're going to need people to stand with you. You're going to need people to put confidence in you that you have not yet earned, that you have not yet established, that you have not yet demonstrated. So you're going to have people do that. You're going to need people to give you opportunities you have not yet proven. People willing to attach their name to yours. if you're going to accomplish these goals in your life early on. So you got to start out early creating a testimony that causes other people to respect you early in life. Come on, you want goals to, you want to accomplish this stuff in your life? Well, it's going to be hard, so you're going to need help, and you're going to need the help of other people. I'm thankful for the people in my life early on who put trust in me that I wouldn't have put in me. I've said before, when I first ran here to preach, I wouldn't have sent me to Casey's for coffee. But I had preachers that put confidence in me that I had not yet earned. And so we've got to establish a testimony that has respect, that causes people to respect us if we want people to put trust in us. You got to start early creating this. And you know how this goes. This is very difficult. So listen, be on time. Establish a testimony of being on time. Be responsible. Be courteous. Be respectful. Be a finisher. Here you go. Volunteer. Don't sit there like a bump on a log. Volunteer. Do your best. Never quit. And when you don't know, ask. Always give 110%. Participate without complaining. Don't make people pressure you to participate. Get up and participate. Because nobody's going to put confidence in somebody that's not willing to even participate. Take care of your business. Pay your bills. Responsibly manage your finances. Be faithful. Be trustworthy. Be honest. Be compassionate. Don't gossip. Be easy to get along with. Don't be a know-it-all. Because contrary to what you and your mother thinks, you probably are not the smartest person in the room. Be humble. Seek the benefit of other people. Be genuinely interested in what's going on in other people's life. Be engaged. Cooperate. Come on, these are the things that build confidence in people and make people put confidence in you that you haven't earned yet. Because if you're going to accomplish goals in your life, you're going to need that. You're going to need those things. As you strive to reach goals, there's going to be times when you mess up. There's going to be time when you make mistakes. There's going to be times when you were wrong. You know what you're going to need during those times? You're going to need a second chance. You know who's apt to give you a second chance? Someone whose respect you have earned. Because none of us are perfect. And when you're young, you tend to make a lot of mistakes. And so when those times come, it's when you've established the testimony of having character and respect of others. Those are the people who will give you a second chance. Does this make sense? You need to establish a testimony of respect. People will not give unproven people opportunity unless they have a testimony worthy of respect. Act like a real adult. Earn for yourself a testimony that merits respect. Almost done. Sixthly, this is another simple one, so it won't take long. Sixthly, establish and grow friendships that will help you reach your goals. And at the same time, help you fulfill your purpose. Proverbs 27, establish friendships that will help you reach your goals. Proverbs 27, quickly. Look at verse 6. How much does God have to say about this? Verse 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Then he says in verse 9, ointment and perfume rejoice of the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Thine own friend and thy father's friend, forsake not, neither go into the way of thy brother's house in the day of trouble. Then he goes on in verse 17 and says this, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Have friends that promote your goals. Have friends that promote your purpose. Don't be around people who drag you down or pull you away from your purpose or pull you away from your goals. You know, not just people with whom I have common interests. I have common interests with people. But a lot of times those people aren't good for me. We may enjoy some of the same things. We may know some of the same people. But they are not good for me. I might have hunting in common with this guy. But it's not good for me to go hunting with him. You know, I might enjoy being around this particular woman as a woman, but it's not good for me to be around her because it's just not good for my goals. It's not good for my purpose. It's not good for my walk. And so I need to establish friends and friendships that are good for me, people who are good for my goals, people who are good for my purpose. In Proverbs 27:10, I need to have some mature friends. I love this verse, and I use it a lot with young people. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Have mature friends. They may not be your buddy, but you can have mature friends. People who are older than you and know more than you, and if there is anybody like that, and experience more than you. Have mature friends, those who will tell you the truth, who know the truth and will tell you the truth. Those who love the Lord and whose lives prove it. Have those type of friends. Never choose to be in regular company of people who drain your goals or purpose. Seventhly, this one and one more. Seventhly, if you're going to reach your goals, you have to take response. Are you tuned in? You really need to hear this one. If you're going to reach your goals, take responsibility for your failures. Take responsibility for your mistakes. Take responsibility for your shortcomings. Take responsibility for the fact that you were wrong or that you messed up or that you weren't right. Don't do it so many today and blame everything and everybody because you didn't reach your goal. Well, I didn't reach my goal because I'm oppressed. I didn't reach my goal because I didn't have opportunity. I didn't reach my goal because of this and because of that. As we pray about goals in life, God gives every one of us opportunities and responsibilities. We're not going to turn there because I'm out of time, but Matthew chapter 25, we have the parable of the talents. I'm just going to make application of that. That is the fact when you pray about goals, if you seek God's will and goals, God's going to give you opportunity. God's going to give you the things necessary to try to reach those goals if you've prayed about them. So God puts those opportunities in our care. Now it's my responsibility to do something with them. And if I don't do anything with them, if I mess up and make mistakes with them, that's my fault. Learn to take responsibility for what to do with or what you failed to do with or what you failed to use that God puts in your care. I messed up. I was wrong. I made a big mistake. I didn't do that right. I had this opportunity. And if you're failing, don't blame your parents. Don't blame your circumstances. Don't blame life. Own it. Because chances are it's your fault. More than likely. Amen? Figure out what's wrong and fix it. Figure out why you didn't accomplish it and fix it. Take responsibility for our faults and errors. Don't always try to find somebody else to blame. Don't try to explain everything away, but take responsibility. Ask yourself some questions. Have I really done everything I could have done? Because first people, well, I did everything I could. Have you really? Did you really do everything that you could? Did you really do everything you were able to do? Or did you quit and give up? Did you leave anything undone? Was there anything that you didn't work hard enough at? Is there anything you didn't enjoy so you didn't put in the effort that you should have? Take responsibility for our shortcomings and for our errors. Something of which you, like I said, you didn't put the time in on. And so for that reason, it all fell flat and you failed. You didn't enjoy doing it. It was too hard, so you didn't put the effort into it that you should have. Was there something you're not doing or something you gave up on because you're convinced it was too hard to do? Take responsibility for your shortcomings. Listen, if you're a young person tonight, set goals in your life, and when you fail to reach those, take responsibility. Just say, I was wrong. I should have worked harder here. I didn't spend enough time on this. I should have focused more on this in my school. I should have done my homework. I should have done this. I should have done that. I should have taken more. I didn't enjoy doing this, so I shortcutted it, and now I'm paying for it. It's my fault. When I was in high school, I was an idiot. Just sharing my thoughts with you. I was in high school. I wanted to be a police officer. That's what I was going to be. That's back when police officers were police officers, not psychologists, so you didn't have to have a college degree. So I thought to myself, I'm never going to college, so I don't have to worry about all this English stuff. And so I goofed off and was an idiot, all right? So then I graduated from high school, couldn't be a police officer at that age, so I thought, well, I'll go in the military, go into the police there, get my stuff done there, then get out and I'll be old enough to be a police officer on the outside. Well, so then I go in the military, my wife gets saved, I get my heart with God, and God calls me to preach. Now guess where I'm sitting? Freshman English in college with no clue whatsoever what I'm doing. I worked more in my freshman year just to get past English than I worked the whole 4 years I was there, 3.5 years I was there. I bought a freshman English book that thick and spent hours just trying to figure out what all this stuff was. And my first quarter, the worst grade I got in all of college, my first quarter, I got a D in English. About killed me. not because I thought I was that smart, because just my pride, it about killed me. So then I got into this big thick book. Second quarter, got a C. Third quarter, got a B. Time I got to the fourth quarter, I got a B. But you see, I thought to myself, I got this all figured out. You just don't know, do you, what God may do in your life or how God may work in your life. You know, reaching goals, you know, I had to adjust to the fact that I was an idiot. And I had to take responsibility for it. You know what? I didn't set freshman English going, this is too hard. This is the school's fault. Did you hear about that guy that got fired, that professor got fired this week from college because his course was too hard? He graded too hard. That's what's wrong. I didn't sit there in English and go, this teacher, it's just this teacher, they're just too hard. No, I thought I was an idiot. Now I'm paying for it. So what's my options? I want to pass this course. So I set myself a goal. And I sat up all night with a book that thick trying to figure out what they were talking about. And so you got to own your mistakes. You got to say, this is my fault. I messed up. I didn't do it right. I should have worked harder. I didn't do everything. I didn't do everything I could have. Amen? No excuses, just hard work and results. Make this your theme. No excuses, just results. Amen? Get it done. And just take ownership of everything. And then lastly, we're done. Lastly, listen. Really listen to people. Listen. Really listen to the right people. Don't be a Rehoboam. Amen? Over in 2 Chronicles 10, who turned to his buddies for advice when those who were wiser gave him great advice and what he should have done. You may be a genius on paper. If you're younger, you may be brilliant on paper. You may not be like me. You may not be an idiot. And you may be a genius on paper. You might be a genius in the classroom. You may have aced everything. But the one thing you lack is experience. You know, there's two things that get people in trouble. Well, more than two, but two in context that get people in trouble. That is zeal without wisdom and knowledge without experience. Get people in a lot of trouble. And if you really are that smart, then you'll know to really listen and who to listen to. Last verse, Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12. If you're really that smart, then you'll know to really listen and who to listen to. Verse 15 of Proverbs 12. The fool, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes. It's true, isn't it? That's wisdom. That's zeal without wisdom and knowledge without experience. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel, he is what? The man or woman who knows to listen. And who to listen to accomplishes the goals in her life. Turn off, listen, reaching goals can be hard. And when it's not happening, figure out what's wrong and fix it. No excuses, just get it done. Amen? Ownership. Turn off the game system. Turn off your smart device. Cut off some of the Instagram. Shouldn't be in TikTok anyway. Get off all of that stuff for a while. Set some goals and work toward those things in your life. And listen to people. The kind of people you should be listening to. And if you really want to accomplish some goals that will make your life happy, stop listening to the advice of lost people or backslidden saved people and find some godly people with a proven track record and say, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think about this? What do you think I should do about this? Let me ask this again. Anybody here tonight desire to be unhappy in life? Certainly not. None of us want to be unhappy in life. If that's the case, you need to remember, you got to have a purpose, which is to glorify God in whatever you do, or at least not in any way that distracts from His glory. That should be how we live our life. But if you want to be happy, you got to set goals. You got to set realistic goals of things that you really believe will make you happy and will make your time on earth here matter. You got to have some goals. This is what I want to be. This is what I want to do. I want to be here at this point. I want to accomplish this in my life. If you're going to do that, then you remember to achieve that, you got to be saved. Amen. Saved people have different goals than lost people. You got to pray about those goals, seek God's counsel, set some well thought out goals and seek His leadership. You got to take God's word as the ultimate and final authority in your life to keep you from taking shortcuts and off ramps and seeming easy ways to goals that get you out of God's will. You got to remember that reaching goals is not for sissies, because life is hard. You got to determine that life is hard and I'm not going to quit. I'm going to stay with it. I'm going to determine that I'm going to get it done. You got to determine to establish a testimony that causes other people to respect you, because you're going to need the help of other people. You need to seek out friendships that support your purpose and goals, because life is distracting. You need to stop whining and take responsibility for your failures and shortcomings and figure out what went wrong and fix it. And we need to listen. Really listen to people who know more than we do. And chances are you'll not accomplish every goal in your life, but you'll accomplish it. Anybody here tonight accomplished every single goal they've ever set in their life? But if we strive to, we can accomplish most of them. And if we don't accomplish them, then we just keep serving God, reset our goals, and continue living, serving Him. But if you want to be successful, if you want to be happy in life, there's got to be some goals in your life. We've got to go about them wisely and godly manner. Why don't you stand with me, if you will.